chapter 1, I'm going to read one verse from John chapter 1, verse number 29. Then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 5 and read the first seven verses there. I felt the Lord impress this message upon me before I ever left on this trip. And just did the finishing touches when I got home. And I felt it was a great confirmation when they sang that song this morning. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. All right, now Revelation chapter 5. Of course, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel, he's the one who gave the account that I just read to you about John the Baptist. And it's also the Apostle John who wrote this book of Revelation as he received it from the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5, John writes and says, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld. Amen. They told him, Behold. And he said, I beheld. I watched close. And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your spirit we feel in this service. Thank you for everyone that's come today. They've made the effort here to be in your house today. I pray you'd help me to preach this thought you've laid on my heart today. Speak to us, Lord, about the power of your blood. Hallelujah. Help us to behold the Lamb today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you simply, behold the Lamb. Amen. Behold, look at, pay attention to the Lamb. Amen. John the Apostle, by the time this book of Revelation was going to be given and written, had been exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He had been placed there because of his faith in God. They had tried, according to history and tradition, they tried to take his life two or three times, tried to execute him, and God spared him miraculously. At any rate, he was here on this Isle of Patmos, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and received a glorious revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, all of us are all still trying to figure it all out. Amen. And he received that glorious revelation. He received those messages to the seven churches of Asia and also the messages that relate to all the church age as well. Then he was caught up in the Spirit all the way up into heaven, and he witnessed amazing scenes in heaven and the glory of God. He saw God sitting on the throne. Amen. He saw the angels all around him worshiping him and the elders there that represented believers from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. And in the right hand of God, there was a book. That book is described as a book that was written on the front and the back side. All of it was written. All the pages were written on. And it was sealed with seven seals. And it was a book of judgment on the earth and judgment on sinful man. And God is holding this book in his hand, and the cry goes out, who is worthy to open this book? And the answer comes that no man was worthy. No man in heaven, no man in earth, no man even under the earth. No man who had died, that was buried. There was no one. And the Bible here, John said, I began to weep. He began to feel the sorrow of God holding this book of judgment that needed someone to take it and open it, and no one there was worthy. And so he's crying and feeling that emotion of sorrow in his heart. And one of the elders says to John, weep not. Don't cry. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. And so John begins watching intently now, and as he watches, he says he sees a lamb. He sees a lamb. And this lamb has the appearance as of a lamb that has been slain. And no doubt, I mean, John doesn't record that, but you have to kind of wonder. John is thinking to himself, I thought the elder said, behold the Lion. You know? He was looking for a lion to step forward, a representative of power and majesty. You know, he was looking for the strength of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and instead of a lion, it's a lamb. And it's a lamb that has been slain. And yet this lamb comes to the Father on the throne and is worthy and able to take that book out of his hand. Hallelujah. And all of heaven begins rejoicing. Amen. No doubt. I can't help but believe, amen, that John in his mind, it immediately took him all the way back to those days when he hadn't even become a disciple of Jesus yet. He hadn't even met Jesus. He was out there with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was baptizing people who repented of their sin and called on the name of God. And while they were out there one day, John looked up and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And John no doubt looked, and he thought he was going to see a lamb, and he saw a man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lamb of God. And he watched while this man approached and came to John the Baptist. And they had their conversation, and John baptized him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And now John in heaven, in the scene in heaven, amen, he sees in this heavenly vision the very Lamb, amen, of God with scars of death. Evidence of wounds, and yet he is definitely alive. Hallelujah. John, no doubt, knows exactly who he is. Amen. Everyone in heaven fell down and worshiped before this Lamb, and the Bible said they began to sing a new song. Amen. I assume that was a song that had never yet been sung. Amen. It has not yet been sung. Amen. Not yet in its fullness. Amen. And hopefully, thank God, we'll be able to be there and help join in this song. Maybe we ought to memorize part of this passage. We might need to know the words. They may not hand them out. Hallelujah. Amen. But they begin to sing a new song. Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Hallelujah. All of heaven rejoices in the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The Lamb that was slain, and therefore they're rejoicing in the power of his blood. Oh, I know in the day we live in, there are a lot of churches, they don't like to talk about the blood of Jesus. They don't like to talk about the blood. They feel like that's undignified and crude. Well, so be it. Amen. You feel like it's undignified and crude, it's because you don't understand how important it is. Amen. So much so that when we get to heaven, think about it now. I know John the Apostle, when he saw the Lord the first time, he appeared as just a normal man, but he was coming to be the Lamb of God. And then when John sees this vision in heaven, hasn't even taken place yet, amen, that you and I may be witnesses of our own self. Think about that. When he appears the first time in heaven, in the book of Revelation, he appears not as a lion, but as a lamb. That's how important it is for us to behold the Lamb. Amen. And the first reason why is because of the Lamb, the price has been paid. Hallelujah. Oh, the price has been paid. Amen. I know there are a lot of people that do not understand that when they are lost without God, when they're sinners, and they don't realize that every person born in the world is born in the world without God. They need to be saved. They don't understand sometimes about the awful guilt that they're bearing in their life of sin and wrongdoing. But every human being has a terrible debt of sin. I hear people call up every once in a while on these radio talk shows about debt. Man, I mean, there's some of them $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 in debt on a credit card. God forbid, how could anybody ever get out of that? I don't know. They finally get so desperate, they finally gotten to a point that even themselves, they realize they can't even sometimes make the minimum payment anymore. It's gotten too big. They're in a debt they absolutely cannot pay. And so it is spiritually. Every human being is born with a debt that they can never pay. Oh, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to behave myself. I'm not going to be a drunkard, and I'm not going to be an adulterer, and I'm not going to kill anybody, and I'm going to be good. You can't be good enough not to pay this debt. You can't do it. Oh, I'll even go to church every once in a while. That don't pay the debt. Oh, I'll put some money in the offering. That won't pay the debt. Hey, I'll be good enough. I'll sign up on the book and become a member. That still don't pay the debt. I'll shake the preacher's hand. I'll be baptized in water. That won't pay the debt. Amen. There's a debt you cannot pay. Hallelujah. But John said Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. He was the payment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He was the payment. So that Paul said in Acts 20 and 28, we were purchased with His blood. The Lamb paid the price. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Peter declared that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Oh, there's people probably even right here today. You'd say, oh, I'd give my right arm to have a wheelbarrow full of gold. Playing the lottery, trying to win the big bucks. They love silver and gold. You can't pay this price with silver and gold. No, not at all. Take the richest man in America, the richest man in the world. He cannot save his soul. Amen. We're not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Think about the importance of the lamb through the Bible. All the way back at the first family, Abel had to offer a lamb. Think about Isaac on the way up the mountain with Abraham. He looks around. He sees he's carrying wood. Abraham has a torch with fire. But Isaac's smart enough to know there's something very important missing. And he says, where is the lamb? I guarantee you, if you were Isaac, the lamb would be very important to you. Huh? Amen. When it came Passover time, the lamb was important. They had to select that perfect lamb. They had to shed its blood, apply the blood to the frame of their doors. Amen. That lamb was important to them. Amen. In the time of the law, it required numerous sacrifices of lambs. In Isaiah 53, the prophecy of Christ, he sees a lamb led to the slaughter. Here, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Paul says Jesus was our Passover lamb. And even in the book of Revelation, when all things are being wrapped up and Jesus is on his way to being crowned king of all the universe and ruler of all the world, 26 times he is referred to as a lamb. That's how important the lamb is. And the phrase is in the Bible there in Revelation. It was also in this song. the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now that makes those instances I mentioned to you even more important. Because now, Abel is not just offering a lamb. He is offering a lamb that is a type of Jesus Christ. That lamb of satisfaction. Hallelujah. And now, when Isaac and Abraham reach the top of the mountain, and Isaac is looking for the lamb, and he finds himself being put on the altar, and Abraham's knife coming up in the air, and then God stopping his hand and showing him the lamb and the ram in the thicket, that lamb, amen, was a lamb of substitution. He took Isaac's place, and it was a type of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. When they did the Passover lamb of safety, amen, that lamb was a type of Jesus Christ. Every time a sinner went to the tabernacle of God and offered a lamb on the altar, amen, the lamb of sacrifice was a type of Jesus Christ. Amen. When Isaiah saw a suffering lamb, it was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when John saw the Lamb of salvation, it was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to know today, the price for your sin has been paid. Amen. Not by what you can do, but paid by Jesus' blood. Hallelujah. For the Bible said that by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't you lift your hand and thank God for the Lamb today? Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb. The price paid. Glory to God. Glory to God. No matter how good you think you are, no matter how bad you think you are, because the devil works both sides. He tells some people they're so good they don't need to be saved. And he tells other people they're so bad they can't be saved. And the fact of the matter is, whether you think you're good or whether you think you're bad, the price was paid by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only the price paid, that's important, but the peace provided. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, Paul said, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Amen. Made peace. What do you mean? Jesus, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Amen. He goes on to say, you who were alienated and enemies, now hath He reconciled. You understand that every human being that is not a child of God, they are not born again. They have not accepted Jesus as their own personal Savior. They are an enemy of God. I know people that would flee the country if the IRS became their enemy, because they are terrified of the IRS. They'd be finding a way out. Amen. There are young people that find a new way to school or a new way home because of a bully. They're afraid of that enemy. Amen. There are families that break up and an ex becomes an enemy and they have to get a restraining order against them because they live in constant fear of that enemy. I'll tell you what, you never had an enemy till you've had God for an enemy. Amen. You take every other enemy you can imagine in your mind and they become nothing when you realize that without Jesus Christ, God Himself is your enemy. But Jesus, hallelujah, provided peace. He reached up to God in heaven. He reached down to man on earth. Amen. He brought us together. And now, in Christ Jesus, those who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Through Jesus, we have peace with God. I'm just trying to have peace of mind. Got to get my life straightened out. I got to get my career going. Got to find the right job. Got to get the right educational opportunity. I got to find the right mate. I got to find the right person. I'm trying all this. I'm trying the partying and the high life the world calls it. Trying to get peace of mind. There's only one way to get it. Behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb. We sing that old hymn. Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. I love this idea. Think about it. Sweep over my spirit. Forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Hallelujah. We hit the road yesterday, hit some news, found out they were expecting a huge tsunami to come in on Hawaii. They were evacuating the islands, moving people up to higher ground, taking all the guests in the motels up to at least the third floor. They were expecting this huge wave to come rushing in on Hawaii. They didn't know what was going to happen, and they were looking for that wave. They were fearing it and dreading it. But I'll tell you what, amen, when you get God's peace coming into your life, amen, it comes in like a tsunami. Amen, it will sweep over your spirit. Amen, in fathomless billows of love. You don't know what peace is until you behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. When you see Him. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. When you surrender your life and stop fighting with God, and peace takes over. You don't even have to have the best career in the world to be happy. You don't have to have the most money to be happy. You don't even have to have the most beautiful person who ever lived in the world to be yours. Amen. When you have peace with God. You only get it by beholding the Lamb. Hallelujah. The price paid. Peace provided. Protection promised. For we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now let me put that in perspective, because we don't understand that real well. We don't have a tabernacle. We don't have the outer court and the altar and the laver and then the holy place and then the veil and the holy of holies and the ark of the covenant with the mercy seat. We don't have all that. We don't need that anymore. But in the Old Testament, only the high priest could enter the holy of holies, and only one day a year, on the Day of Atonement. Amen. On that one day, he would take blood of sacrifices in, put it on the mercy seat that was there above the Ark of the Covenant for the atonement of all the nation of Israel. Amen. That priest, when he put on those high priestly garments, on the bottom hem of that garment all the way around were bells. And when he went in that Holy of Holies, as he moved around, because nobody else could come in there, they were listening for the gentle tinkling of the bells. Amen. Because as long as he was moving around in service to God, the bells were ringing. As long as they could hear the bells ringing, all was well. But there was a danger that he would not come out alive, because if he entered that Holy of Holies not properly sanctified, and he went in the presence of God with something wrong in his life, or something wrong, even in the ritual that he went through, he could die in there, and they would no longer hear bells. They couldn't go in and get him. Tradition says they had either a long pole with a hook. Some say they had a rope on the foot. I've never found it in the Bible, but tradition says they could reach under that veil with that long rod with a hook if they had to. I don't even know that it ever happened. It's never recorded in the Bible, but they could, if they had to, reach in there and pull the dead high priest out, because it could be dangerous to approach God in the wrong way. Amen. And now we're told that we have boldness to enter into the holiest. Amen. You and I can go confidently. Not boldly there does not mean arrogantly. It doesn't mean that we don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody says, and we'll just go right in and tell God how it is. No, it means we can come confidently without terror and without dread and without fear of death. We can enter into the presence of God, but only one way. Behold the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you do not have Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, you do not have access to the very God of heaven. You cannot come into His presence boldly, not until you come by the blood. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. Amen. But once we have surrendered our life to the Lord and we are covered by His blood, we are promised protection. Hallelujah. Even in Revelation in chapter 12, we read about that great red dragon, that serpent, the devil, Satan, who attacks the people of God. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, I tell you what, we're living in a dangerous world. Amen. That old dragon the Bible talks about, he's not, Puff the Magic Dragon. He's the real deal. He doesn't appear like a huge dinosaur with scales and a long tail and fire coming out of his nostrils, but he's a dragon spiritually. He doesn't appear like a huge python or an anaconda serpent, but he is a serpent spiritually. He is the devil, Satan. Amen. He has demons who have power in the world, and they are out doing everything they can to bring havoc to your life and bring destruction to your soul. And unless you are covered by the blood, you will not have protection. Dangerous for people to be lost without God. And I'll tell you what, it's dangerous for some of you who know better and have been saved and covered by the blood. It's dangerous for you. Get out from under the protection of the blood. Because it don't matter if you are a member of Junction Hill Pentecostal Church. It don't count what your last name is or who your mom and dad are or what they do for God. When you get out from under the blood of the Lamb, you are in a dangerous place. Amen. You need to stay covered by His blood. Hallelujah. I read a story of a man named Robert Bruce, who was a political prisoner. He was from Scotland. The King of England's men were after him. He escaped and was being pursued by them. They released trained dogs to track him down. He was already weary and worn, and he heard the baying of those hounds. He knew they had his scent. He knew there was no way possibly he could imagine to get away. And as he stumbled out through the woods, he came upon a river. And he thought, there's a chance. He waded out into that river, went out in that river till it was all the way up to his chin, started making his way upstream in that river. He heard the baying of the dogs as they approached where he had been. But they could not follow his scent in the river. And he stayed in the river as long as he could stand it. And he could no longer hear the baying of the hounds. And he made his way out of the river to safety because his scent was covered by that flood of water. Amen. I will tell you what. The devil's on your trail. Oh, yes, he is. Amen. Every day you live, he's trying his best to take your life. He wants your soul lost forever in hell. He'll lie to you. He'll deceive you. He'll trick you. He'll act like he's the best friend you ever had. He'll bring other people into your life to be his agents. They will do everything they can to take you away from the power of the blood. I'm going to tell you what, friend, you better wade out in the stream from Calvary. Hallelujah. You better lose your life in the blood and get the scent of the devil off of you. You're going to be lost if you don't get to Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An evangelist told, and I'm closing, I'm coming to the end. He was a small boy. He lived on a farm. They raised chickens, not in the mass production like today, but they had their own chickens on the farm. One day he heard a horrendous commotion, the squawking and the flapping and all that noise. And as a boy went running out in the barnyard, and he found that a hawk had come into the barnyard. All of the hens and chickens had fled into the little shed. But one hen was out there in the middle of the barnyard, and this hawk was just attacking it. He reached, looked around and grabbed the first thing he ever got his hand on. I don't even remember him even saying what it was. If it was a broom or a hoe or what it was. He just grabbed the nearest thing and ran out there and drove that hawk away, wondering all the while, why in the world didn't this hen get in the barn like all the other ones did? And while he finished driving the hawk away, he began to hear a little small sound. And he reached down and moved the wing of that dead hen. Little chicks started coming out. He said every one that come toddling out had little flecks of blood on it. That mother hen had sacrificed herself by covering up those chicks, and she saved them by shedding her blood. And every one of them saved had little flecks of her blood on them. And I'm going to tell you what. Every person that goes through the gates to heaven finds themselves safe. Everyone is going to have flecks of the blood on their life. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to get to heaven because they were good enough. Nobody is going to get to heaven because they were rich. Nobody's going to get to heaven because they were popular. Everybody who makes it safe is going to have His blood on their life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. He is the price paid. He is the peace provided. Amen. He is the protection promised. And it can all be yours today. But you have